You are so much better in person, so thank you. Do you have any thoughts about urban farming and or vertical farming?
Urban farming, you mean vertical farming, like this hydroponic guy is going to put everything in a glass building?
You just mentioned Chicago, we got LA up the street.
Yeah.
How do you see those folks?
Ooh, boy, that's a good question. And you know what? I'm going to be the first thing. I don't have all the answers. But I'm gonna be really out of the box here and suggest, would LA still offer what LA does on the positive side at half the size? I think yes. The point is, should we have a city the size of LA? Probably not. We do, but should we? The point I'm making is, instead of trying to ask, how do we feed LA, maybe the question is for each of us to live in such a way that LA doesn't have to have as big a population as it does, as centralized as it does. And I said, I don't have all the answers, okay? But I think that needs to be put on the table. It needs to be put on the table. Because so often we just assume that what is, there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, I think we live in extremely abnormal times. Sometimes I want to go down to Times Square and just yell to the world, folks, this ain't normal. You know, it's not normal to eat food that you can't pronounce. It's not normal to eat food that you can't make in your kitchen. It's not normal to never feel soil under your... My daughter just had a friend, she did a study abroad program in Strasbourg, France, finishing up college. And one of her suite mates came out from L.A. to see us, just spent a week. She'd never seen snow, so we had 6 inches of snow Saturday, so she got to build a snowman and make a big, you know, snowball and all this stuff. And she wanted to gather eggs. So she went in, all the hens are in the hoop houses now, the tall tunnels for winter. So she goes in there, and she thought they were going to kill her. Oh, they're going to kill me! Oh. She had a wonderful time. Wonderful time. Once she got out of the chicken house. But you know, this is not normal to live this disconnected. And you can see it, and you can see the disconnection even in the radical animal rights movement, where a fly is a cat, is a dog, is a child, is a cow. There are a lot of people in this culture that think if I dress a chicken, that's equivalent to murdering a human. And what they say is that they have evolved to a new state of, you know, nirvana, okay, of awareness. No. What this is an abnormal, devolved state of disconnectedness with your ecological umbilical. That's what it is. But it's touted in the media as some new level of awareness, of you know, being. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Everything and everybody is eating everything and everybody. And if you don't believe it, go sit naked in your flower bed for 4 days and see what gets eaten. Now, that doesn't mean we abuse. Doesn't mean we did, but it does mean that that's reality. Okay? So, what was the question? LA, okay. So there are so many things that can be done in urban places. Everything from green roofs to methane digesters in the bottom of skyscrapers. We shouldn't be sending all this sewage down somewhere. We should have big methane tanks and then heat the building with the methane that comes off. The methane that comes off of every human's excrement is enough to cook all of their food for a day. You know, the fact is, we don't even think about these kinds of things or capturing these kinds of cycles. I mean, in our neck of the woods, maybe here too, I don't know, but in our neck of the woods, our county's building 800 or 800 houses a year now being built in our county. Maybe to you that doesn't sound like anything. Where we are, you know, that's a big deal. And you know what? Not five of those houses even takes a consideration of the southern exposure, a glass, a nothing. They're just stick houses, McMansions, just going up in cul-de-sacs and at the end of paved roads. No embeddedness, you know, with special deeded covenants that there shall be nothing like farming or other noxious uses in this suburban development. Okay? So there's a complete lack of integration. I don't know about L.A., but I know in Baltimore there are 40,000 acres of open land in Baltimore. St. Louis, I was at a 12th of an acre urban farm in St. Louis just last month. Met with five young people there, was on a speaking tour thing. Wonderful, wonderful day, just sharp, these five young people, 12th of an acre. They were supplying all the food needs for 20 people, all the food for a year for 20 people from that 12th of an acre, and it was a lot that had two condos on it that finally, you know, fell down and they bulldozed it. When they dug holes to put their pea vine trellises in, they were digging up wires and pipe and blue jeans, asphalt, you know, because it was just a bulldozed city lot. I asked them, I said, so how much food could you produce for St. Louis? They said, every single morsel that St. Louis needs could be produced right here in the city limits. I mean, we could do so much more than we are. I mean, in Italy, you go to Italy. When I was in Italy for slow food at Terra Madre, you know, every clover leaf on the interstate, they didn't have any big, you know, bat wing 20-foot wide mowers, you know, going down there. No. Those big clover leaves on the expressways were all divvied up in little quarter-acre sections with a little shack and a bed in it, and people bicycled out on the bike paths from town or drove their little, you know, their little itty-bitty tin can something out there, okay, that you could pick up in front of it. Anyway, it was great, okay? And you go out there, and they spend the weekend tending their vegetable gardens and canning and processing and putting up, then cart it back to the city. And all of those areas were intensively cultivated for residential food production. You go down to, I was down in south of Monterrey, Mexico, in the capital city of Victoria, Tamaulipas, and you know, you go down the interstate, they don't have big bush hogs and bat wing mowers along the interstate. You go down the interstate, and every old quarter mile is a tethered milk cow. And then you go down in the evening, and you see all the farmers going out, bringing their family cow in to milk, and then they move the stake in the morning, they mow the interstate with these tethered milk cows. You go into the city park, they don't have a big bunch of crew mowing grass. Eight farmers have a contract with the city, and I'm sure it's some sort of bribe deal, but that's okay. And they mow the city park with their eight milk cows. I mean, the point that I'm making is, if every household in L.A. had three chickens, I mean, you could keep parakeets, can't you? Well, why is a chicken worse than a parakeet? So you keep three parakeets in your condominium, feed them all your kitchen scraps. You know, there's a town in Belgium that just put out a plea in their city. They said, anybody that wants three chickens, we'll give them to you free. They had 2,000 families take them up. They distributed 6,000 chickens in this town to 2,000 families. In the first month, it dropped their solid waste from kitchen waste by 100 tons.
Wow.
And the families now had potting soil. True potting soil. For their plants and their little windowsill gardens. Okay? I mean, but I don't have all the answers, but I do know that as we begin thinking in terms, instead of linear, thinking of cycles and loops, okay, as we start thinking like that, just one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. Next thing you know, you're in edible landscaping. What if 90% of the trees in L.A. were edible instead of inedible? Now, I have nothing against flowers, okay? But you know, I think a blooming edible tree is pretty too. And you can pick the fruit off of it. And so I think that it's more. I don't have every single answer. I mean, if we sat down and had a brainstorm session, I'll bet in this room we could pretty much solve the LA problem. But I think if you simply start saying, where are we dependent on the outside and where is our waste going, and start closing the loops, okay, the answers just become as clear as the nose on your face. But in our culture, we don't think holistically. We think linear, because we're Greco-Roman Western reductionist, linear, systematized, fragmented, you know, all that. Yes?
We have about 10 more minutes,
Tom.
Can you take one more question?
Okay.
And we'll wrap it up.
Okay. There was somebody down here that was had their hand. Yes?
I like hearing you talk about pigs, expressing their pigments. And maybe you can talk a little bit more about that. Maybe Santa Barbara, 5th of an acre backyard chicken, expressing their backyard chicken.
Oh, okay. How do a 5th of an acre Santa Barbara backyard, how do we allow a chicken to express its chickenness? All right, well, what we want to do is biomimicry. A chicken is a bird, all right? And ideally, they have some room to move around, and they get fresh ground. And so there are all sorts of little movable, portable chicken coops, okay? And you move those around. And they fertilize your lawn, you feed them your kitchen scraps, and you get eggs from them. When they're done, you eat the meat, and you but the idea is that you move them around and you have them in some sort of a dog-proof, predator-proof thing, so that they fertilize, they get fresh ground, they get fresh grass, and they are eating your waste stream and converting it to eggs for you to eat, and that's the cycle that it works. Okay? That's the last question. So at this point, I'm gonna turn it back over to Gunnar, but not before I have a chance to just say, number one, how thankful I am for being able to share with you tonight, but also to just realize, don't underestimate the power of one. The other thing is, and this is my most liberating thought, and that is, you've heard the saying, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. You heard it right? You know what? That's wrong. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly first. Whoever did it right the first time? I mean, do we say to an infant that's having, a toddler that's trying to learn how to walk, Johnny, if you can't walk any better than that, just quit. Do we tell a kindergartner struggling to make an A and a B, well, if you can't write any cleaner than that, just quit. And people all over are struggling with trying to get it perfect and dot the I's and cross the T's and have it all figured out and analyzed, and we've got paralysis by analysis. Mm. And we need to be liberated to understand, we don't have to wait until we have it all figured out before we start. But we know enough right now to be able to take one step. And we take that step, then the next step becomes apparent. We don't have to think about having it all done right the first time. So just be liberated from that. Remember that if it's worth doing poorly first. And let that empower you and encourage you to go ahead and do it poorly first. And now, may all your carrots grow long and straight.
Worth out of that, huh?